Tonight was the final stop on the road to Crown Jewel. Tomorrow in Saudi Arabia. This was a rare taped episode of SmackDown Tonight. You could tell because if you looked at the top of the screen, they had these tracking lines. Something you would rarely see. Like if you had a VHS tape, you would see those lines on the screen. If you looked at the very top of the screen, I don't know if the tape was damaged or what, but a taped episode of SmackDown Tonight. Jake Paul is in Saudi Arabia. He's going to be in his brother's corner for his match with Roman Reigns for the championship tomorrow. He was at the press conference earlier today. So we're going to talk about Crown Jewel a little bit later on. I've got final predictions. I did make some changes to my predictions from Sunday because there were some developments on TV this week that has me changing my mind on a few things. So we'll run through those a little bit later on. We had the old Shayna Baszler back tonight. That was the story being told on commentary. The OG Shayna Baszler from NXT returned on the show tonight, and she was not alone. For her match against Natalya, she had Ronda Rousey in her corner. Triple H going back to the Shayna Baszler that he knew and that he booked as a wrecking machine in the old NXT during the Black and Gold era. That was very nice to see tonight on the show. I'll tell you something else that was nice to see, that main event for the Intercontinental Championship. Walter doing that title proud. It was Gunther against Rey Mysterio for the IC title. I thought an excellent main event between those two tonight. We had the announcement of the SmackDown World Cup. First ever SmackDown World Cup tournament is going to be taking place and is going to be kicking off on SmackDown next Friday. Right now, that's all we know about it. So that was SmackDown. But this is also my first Rampage review in 2 months. It's been just about 8 weeks since I have done a Rampage review. And why did I do a Rampage review tonight? One name, Shibata. Katsuyori Shibata of New Japan Pro Wrestling, who has not wrestled a proper advertised match in 5 years, over 5 years, which was the match with Okada that nearly not only ended his career, but ended his life. Although Dave Meltzer once in the Observer did say that Shibata, in the surgery that he had, literally had his brain removed from his skull. One of the all-time great faux pas that still makes me laugh when I think about it from the Observer. Just the visual of Shibata having his brain taken out of his skull. The things you learn by reading the Wrestling Observer is really quite something. But Shibata did nearly lose his life. It was a very serious injury. And to see him in the ring tonight, challenging for a championship on live television, was something I was not going to miss. So I did tune in tonight, and I'm very happy that I did. I'm glad that I did. It was a lot of fun watching him and Orange Cassidy. Mike Tyson was also on commentary because Rampage... See, this is one of those rare weeks where Rampage was live and SmackDown was taped. Usually it's the other way around. But for one night only, we had WWE taped and AEW live. And so we had Mike Tyson on live commentary from Atlantic City, where he has had many a fight back in the day. Mike Tyson, very familiar with Atlantic City. He sat in on commentary for the All-Atlantic Championship match. And not only did he sit in on commentary for that match, my favorite moment of the night was Mike Tyson on commentary correcting the Human Wrestling Encyclopedia Excalibur on a hold. At one point during the match, Excalibur referred to a Shibata hold as, I think, a heel trip. And Tyson butted in a few seconds later and said, "Actually, that's an STO. I popped. I thought that was tremendous. I thought that was fucking tremendous. Mike Tyson correcting Excalibur on commentary and telling him, "It's not a heel trip, it's an STO. Get it right, dipshit." Tyson was great. How much weed do you think he smoked before he went out there? He was leaning back. He was enjoying himself. He seemed very relaxed. He was very chatty. I know Mike is, I think Mike is selling his own weed. Isn't he and Ric Flair in business together? Aren't they selling some kind of branded weed together? I think Mike was in a good place tonight. I'll tell you what, Rampage was better than Dynamite this week. I thought Rampage was better than Dynamite. It's still not going to get me to watch Rampage every week. But for this week, I thought that this was better than the show on Wednesday. This is your SmackPage review for Friday night, November 4th, 2022. Tonight is the first of four shows that I am doing in 4 days. I am reviewing three shows in the span of less than 24 hours. So I want to say thank you to all of you choosing me this weekend for your coverage. So we'll start with SmackDown before we get into all the AEW stuff. SmackDown opened tonight with a no disqualification match between Liv Morgan and Sonya Deville, hopefully to put the nail in the coffin of this feud once and for all. Liv hit two suicide dives onto Sonya, one in front of the announcers, then one on the opposite side of the ring when Sonya tried to get away. The fans wanted tables, so Liv obliged. She pulled one out from underneath the ring, set it up in front of the announce desk. But unfortunately for her, she took too much time setting the table up, and here comes Sonya to give her a big boot. So Sonya got her on the apron, and she was attempting to give her a German suplex from the apron through the table. And Liv is holding on for dear life. And then finally, the camera zooms in on Liv. And she decides, hey, you know what? Screw it. Let's go for a ride. And she pushes off, and they both fall backwards. Sonya takes the brunt of it. She goes through the table. Liv also goes through the table. That led us into our first commercial break of the night. Hey, Soul Klepto just became a channel member. James Cooper has already been a member for 11 months, but Soul Klepto, welcome Soul Klepto to the channel. I appreciate you. After the break, Sonya was filling the ring with steel chairs, and then she took one of them. She tried to use it as a weapon on Liv. Liv, though, cut her off, took over on offense. She hit a code breaker, only got two. Liv climbed up on the middle rope. She was trying for a superplex. Sonya stuffed the attempt, turned it into a powerbomb onto the pile of chairs. Got a close near fall out of it. Sonya tried for one of her moves. I think she calls, what did Michael Cole say? I think she calls it, instead of the Devil's Advocate, it's the Deville's Advocate, is what she's calling this move. Very clever. Liv avoided it, hit her Oblivion finish onto the chairs, and got the three count. Hey, Quentin Moore, welcome to the channel. Thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar. Actually, he's been a member for quite some time. I don't know why I said he's a new member. He's renewed for 20 months. Hey, Quentin, thank you, brother. So as far as this match goes, you know, bare bones, hardcore match. You've seen one, you've seen them all. I thought it was fine. And it led into another women's segment. In the back, Megan Morant was on the little interview set, and she introduced Emma, who returned to WWE last week for the first time in 5 years. She accepted the open challenge to step into the ring with Ronda Rousey. She was not successful. So she talked about the fact that it's been 5 years since she's been in the company, and she never knew if this moment would ever come. She's interrupted by Xia Li, somebody who we do not see nearly enough on this show. She was called up during the Vince McMahon era. Now here in the Triple H era, we see her about as often as we did in the Vince McMahon era. Xia walks up to Emma and she says, I saw you lose last week. And she says, all that proves is that you're weak. And Emma said, number one, that was Ronda Rousey. And number two, and then before she says anything else, she punches Xia in the face and knocks her down. I'll tell you what I liked about this. We, and when I say we, I mean me, talk quite a bit about how with the women, and this goes for AEW as well, this is not just a WWE thing, it's actually, I think, more of an issue with AEW, but we talk about how the women, and it's a smaller division, I mean, there's more men on the roster anyway, in terms of numbers, but they usually only focus on one real story, and that story is usually centered around the championship, whether it's the top title, the women's tag titles, whatever the case may be. In AEW, they have the TBS title, and they have a pretty shitty story going on right now that isn't very, you know, interesting at all. They tend to just focus on that. And the women don't usually get other stories that aren't connected directly to the championship. To open the show here, we had back-to-back women's segments, neither of which had anything to do with the championship. We had Liv and Sonya hopefully finishing their feud, and then we had the set up for a future match probably next week between Emma and Xia Li, which I imagine, is a way to get Emma her first win back on the main roster. But it was nice to see back-to-back women's segments that have nothing to do with Ronda Rousey. They have nothing to do with Damage Control or the women's tag team titles. I think that's a good thing and something we need to see more of. After the break, we got footage from Logan Paul's podcast, and they showed him sitting around. He was outdoors somewhere. I think there was a fire pit. It was him and all of his friends, and his brother Jake was there with him. And Jake Paul just beat Anderson Silva, right? So he's undefeated in boxing, right? Supposedly a big deal. Logan asks his brother if he would support him, you know, as he's going to Saudi Arabia to have this championship match with Roman Reigns. Says, if you would come with me, you would support me. You know, Roman's got the bloodline, and he has all these people that follow him around everywhere he goes. I've got my own bloodline, you know. Would you want to come with me? And Jake said, sure, he would come with him. So they pitched it to Michael Cole, who sent it to a video package to hype up the main event for Crown Jewel tomorrow between Logan Paul and Roman Reigns. Hey, Shawnee the Wrestling drop in the 1999 Super Chat, which so far tonight, that is the biggest Super Chat of the night, which gets you a Yes Chat. Hey, Shawnee, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Biggest Super Chat of the night so far. So they had footage spliced in of the press conference, which took place earlier today. Roman Reigns was there. Paul Heyman was there. Logan Paul. He introduced Jake Paul. Then the rest of the bloodline showed up at the very end. We saw the Usos. We saw Solo Sikoa. No Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn does not make these trips to Saudi Arabia. He has never made the trip. Saudi Arabia. He likely never will make the trip to Saudi Arabia for his own good. But what was interesting is the fans in the crowd at the press conference started a We Want Sami chant. So they wanted to see Sami Zayn, and Roman Reigns, thinking quickly, got on the mic and said, based on your reaction to me just now, you don't deserve Sami. And the bloodline walked off. There were no fisticuffs. There was no physicality. And again, the story they're telling going into Crown Jewel, all it takes is one lucky punch for Logan Paul to win. So that's the story of the match. This guy has to get lucky if he wants to beat Roman Reigns. Not exactly a great vote of confidence if it comes down to luck. They've built this matchup in a very bizarre way, but that's the story they're telling going into this match. We had Ricochet one-on-one against LA Knight. And LA Knight had a microphone as he made his way down to the ring. He said the incels in the crowd should jump on the gravy train. He made fun of Samantha Irvin for getting his hometown wrong a few weeks ago, even though she got it right tonight. Ricochet got tired of hearing LA Knight run down his girlfriend, and so he did a dive out of the ring and tackled Knight to get things started. LA Knight was in control coming out of the commercial break. He was sitting on top, on the top turnbuckle, just talking some smack. I mean, the name of the show is SmackDown. So he's talking some smack. Ricochet then, he leaps up into the air. Doesn't even jump onto the top turnbuckle or anything. He just jumps up into the air and catches Knight with his legs and takes him over for a Rana all the way down to the mat. Then he hit him with a standing shooting star press. Rolled up LA Knight. Knight countered, though, into a roll-up of his own, but he grabbed the rope for added leverage and he got the three count because the referee did not see it. So like a good heel, he cheated to win. But a win is a win. And as Al Bundy used to say, it's only cheating if you get caught. It is so nice to have LA Knight back as himself. I mean, again, this is not rocket science here, right? He never should have been changed to begin with. Hey, Riley Parvin dropping $20. What's going on, Riley? Yes, 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 yes. You get a yes chant too, my friend. Riley, thank you for the Friday love. But it's so nice to see LA Knight back in his natural habitat, as himself, and away from the male models. This is who he should have been from day one. Triple H knew that. Triple H was smart enough to hit the reset button and go, we need this guy. This guy can be a player on this roster. So let's start building him up now. And again, he could have been a babyface. That's the thing about LA Knight. He would make a great babyface, but he's an even better heel. He just is a natural heel. So he's in the right spot that he needs to be in. And I'll tell you something else. There was a story I saw earlier today from Give Me Sport. They had this, apparently they had this whole interview with WrestleVotes, and they're just kind of leaking a little bit of news each, you know, bit by bit every few days. And one of the things that WrestleVotes told Give Me Sport is that the belief within WWE is that Stone Cold Steve Austin would be open to wrestling another match because he was so happy with the way that things went after his match with Kevin Owens was over at WrestleMania this year. He didn't say anything to anybody. Nothing has been discussed. This is all just conjecture at this point. But they believe he was so happy that he would be open to the idea of having another match. GCC305 has showed up to the party tonight. Man, we got ourselves a party going on here on a Friday night. I love it. And Ted Evans as well. You know it's a party when Ted shows up. Ted brings the good stuff with him. But anyway, I'm bringing up the Stone Cold stuff because as I hear this and I think to myself, Is there even a possibility of Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling again? It's honestly not something I even thought about because I think it's completely unnecessary. I mean, what a great way to go out, right? In the main event of WrestleMania almost 20 years later. And he had a great match too, right? I mean, it could not have gone any better than it did for Austin at WrestleMania this year on that first night. If he was to come back, hypothetically speaking, if he was to come back, I look at the WWE roster. There is nobody on the roster, honestly, that I think would make an interesting opponent that I would want to see Austin come back to step into the ring with. There would have to be a guy on the roster that jumps out at me that makes me go, that's a match I'd like to see, except for one person, one man, and that man is LA Knight. LA Knight has modeled himself after Rock and Austin. It was so obvious if you saw him back in the day in Impact and NWA. But I just think for the promos alone, that to me is the program in the feud that would get the most interest out of me if Austin came back. Austin against Roman Reigns, you know, now you're involving the championship, completely unnecessary. Austin against Brock Lesnar, he wouldn't survive. He wouldn't make it out alive. Those are unrealistic opponents, I think. But you get him in the ring with somebody like LA Knight, now you've got my interest. There really is nobody else on the roster that interests me. I would just as soon Austin leave well enough alone and go out on a high note. But if he came back, that's the match I'd like to see. In the back, Sami Zayn was with the Usos and Solo Sikoa. Bloodline was in the house tonight. No Roman Reigns. Jey Uso said he was going to be heading to the ring for a promo. Sammy said, look, I'm not sure about this, right? You should just get rest. You got a big match coming up at Crown Jewel. You're going to be defending the tag team titles against the Brawling Brutes. This is not necessary. You don't have to go out there. You don't have to risk, you know, getting hurt or something happening before the big show. And Sammy said, and Jay told Sammy, he goes, look, this isn't a Bloodline thing. This is an Usos thing. Me and Jimmy were tag team champions before you. And we're going to be tag team champions long after you're gone. And so he went to go leave, and Jimmy walked up to him and said, he's right. You know, he's got a point. And so Jimmy walked off to go join him. Sammy was beside himself, trying to get them to come back. And he looks off into the distance and he just goes, my dogs. And he's unbelievable, this guy. All it takes is one little comment for him to make. And if he's not breaking up the people on TV with him, he's breaking me up. Just the way he says it. You can't say that. Like, he says it the way that I would say it. You can't say that in a whiter way. Where he just stands there and goes, my dogs. And Solo is standing there and he's got the poker face, right? He's not breaking. He's not breaking like everybody was last week. He was able to contain himself here. But Sammy was not able to stop the Usos from going out to the ring. We go to the back, and Bray Wyatt is here for another backstage segment, another promo, or an attempt at one without being interrupted by Uncle Howdy or, you know, Uncle Phil or Uncle Jesse or Uncle Leo or any other Leo. So he says, I'm not the type of person that likes to share their feelings. And it makes it even harder for me when people play with me and interrupt me when I'm trying to do something that obviously is incredibly hard for me. And just as he says that, there is a guy, a worker, in the background carrying a box. And all I could think of when I saw this guy, I'm just thinking, what's in the box? What's in the box? So he walks into camera frame with a box. He's far away in the background. But the producer, or whoever it was behind the camera, is trying to get the guy's attention and says, we're live, right? So now Bray picks up on what's going on here. And Bray says, it's fine, it's okay. And Bray goes and he walks over to the man in the box, or the man with the box. Walks over to the man with the box. And he says, I know you're probably just here to do your job, but you know that feeling you get when someone cuts you off in traffic? Yes, I do. I live in New York. Yes, I do. That feeling when someone cuts you off in traffic and then you fantasize about what you would do to that person if you had them alone for 30 seconds. I've fantasized about that many a time. All of the different ways that I would love to torture that human being if I had 30 seconds alone with that person. You try living in New York. You'd feel the same way. He proceeded to have a breakdown. He said that he hated the thoughts that were going through his head right now. He wanted to take the man's head and just smash it into the wall over there. And he yelled at the guy to tell him that he was sorry. Tell me that you're sorry. Tell me that you mean it. And the man was completely freaked out by this, and he said he was sorry. And Bray calmed down a little bit. He collected himself, and he asked the man to leave. He goes, just leave. Just get out of here. Because obviously he was worried he was about to do something that he might regret. I actually thought this was the best promo that he cut since he came back. This was the best Bray Wyatt segment, I thought, and the most intense that we have seen him. This was a man who looked like he was on the verge of a breakdown. And he was trying everything in his power to contain himself. He was clearly struggling to keep it together, struggling to keep the evil thoughts out of his head. They're promoting Bray Wyatt appearance at Crown Jewel tomorrow. This is a man who sounds like he is coming unglued. We'll see if the glue can keep him together in Riyadh tomorrow. I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I have no idea if it's going to be... I mean, look, to fly him all the way over to Saudi Arabia, I know why they want him on the show, because he's one of their big draws now. But to fly him all the way to Saudi Arabia and not put him in front of the live crowd wouldn't make any sense. You could fly him all the way over there and do another backstage segment like this. So they'll probably give him the full cinematic entrance. He'll come down to the ring, you know, be interrupted by Uncle Howdy. That was the other thing about this segment. As he was breaking down, they had music playing in the background, as they have done with all these segments. There were cutaways to a lot of weird, random clips, and it was, you know, Uncle Howdy. We saw images of Uncle Howdy saying, you lied, and stuff like that. I mean, nothing that we haven't seen before. But I would imagine he'll be in the ring in front of the crowd, and he'll be interrupted by another video. Still waiting on this Uncle Harper. They trademarked two names, so I know Uncle Harper is coming. It's just a matter of when do they introduce him, and what form does he take. I wouldn't expect a major development at Crown Jewel, but we'll see. We will find out in less than 24 hours. The Usos were out to the ring to talk about being on the verge of breaking the New Day's record, 483 days as the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions of all time. Jay told the Brawling Brutes that they were the twos and the Usos were the ones, since they are defending against Butch and Ridge Holland at Crown Jewel. The New Day made their entrance. They told the Usos to calm down. Xavier Woods said that he and Kofi would tear them limb from limb to protect their record. Kofi said, we got next. And at that moment, the Brawling Brutes jumped the Usos from behind. The New Day decided to join in on the attack. So now we had 4-on-2. Babyface advantage, beating down the heels. We had Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa, the heels, making the save. Very weird psychology in this segment, but down they came to the ring. Hey, Ricky, thank you for the sub. Welcome, Ricky. Maybe it's Ricky Starks. Welcome to the channel. So the heels end up getting the upper hand. Usos were about to execute stereo Uso splashes off the top. Butch attacked with a shillelagh. Solo Sikoa put down Butch with the spinning Sikoa, and the Bloodline stood tall to end the segment. The New Day against the Usos, a tale as old as time. But if you remember, I came on here about a month ago. It was on one of these streams, probably one of the SmackDown streams. I came on here and I said, the time to do the match with the New Day and the Usos was the November 11th episode of SmackDown, because that's the final chance that somebody has to stop them from breaking the New Day's record, right? That's the last possible time they could do a match on television before the Usos break the record. And that's exactly what they've announced. It is official now for next week. It will be for the Undisputed Tag Team titles, the New Day challenging either the Usos or the Brawling Brutes, whoever leaves Saudi Arabia with the belts. We know who that's going to be. So it'll be the Usos and the New Day on SmackDown next week. And it makes sense. The Usos are on the verge of breaking this record. The record is owned by the New Day, so the New Day would want to stop them from breaking the record. I have no issue with that. And, of course, we know they'll go out there and have a great match, but it fits the story. So we're going to get that match on SmackDown next week. And we're going to get a new record holder, because the Usos are going to set the record next week. Backstage, Rey Mysterio was approached by Caleb Braxton, who asked him if the Intercontinental Championship would give him the fresh start that he wanted. Rey said that WWE is a part of his life, and he always shared that with his son. He said he was haunted by the memories of Dominic, but he wanted to put it behind him and do something positive. And he said that Gunther was a tough opponent, and he still felt the pain from the chop last week. He said that he would turn that pain into rage, and it would fuel him to win the title. We had Shayna Baszler, who now has new, crappier theme music. I don't know why they keep changing people's theme musics to more inferior music. They did the same thing with Walter. They did the same thing with Braun Strowman. I can't be the only one who thinks that the theme music in this company has taken a huge nosedive. I mean, it's not all bad, but the quality of the theme music in this company has just fallen off a fucking cliff. But she came out for her match against Natalya with Ronda Rousey, the SmackDown Women's Champion, in her corner. So the two are officially an on-screen pairing, which I love to see. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett talked about Shayna losing the edge that she once had back in NXT. Shayna had the early advantage. Natty mounted a brief comeback until Shayna got the Kirifuda clutch. And Natty struggled, but couldn't fight her way out of it. She passed out. And the referee called for the stoppage. So after the match, Rousey was in the ring with Shayna, and they were celebrating her win. And they saw that Natty was coming too, and she was sitting down. And Rousey whispered something into Shayna's ear. Shayna pulled down her knee pad and delivered a knee strike to Natty's face. And they cut away. When they cut back, Natty had her nose was gushing blood. She had a towel. She was trying to pat the blood. And Wade Barrett was putting over on commentary that Shayna just destroyed Natty's face. Natty's face has been destroyed by Shayna Baszler. And also, he said that the OG Baszler is back. Yes. Yes, she is. This is the Shayna Baszler that we should have had on the main roster. I still remember when she first got called up, they turned her into Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Only they turned her into the actual vampire. I guess that would make her the opposite of Buffy. Was Buffy a vampire? She wasn't a vampire. She was a vampire slayer. I didn't watch the show, so I don't. Why would a vampire slay other vampires? I guess that doesn't make any sense. But this is the Shayna Baszler that we've been waiting for. I've been waiting for Shayna Baszler to be out of the whole tag team thing. She had a tag team with Nia Jax, and she was a tag team with Natty. You know, and she just wasn't doing anything. She had no real direction. Now she's got her edge back, and she's got Ronda Rousey with her. And I like that. Now, they could go after the women's tag team titles at some point, not that they mean anything. But it doesn't even have to be about the tag team titles. Just the two of them on screen together as allies, just going around wrecking shit. I like the pairing, and I like what they're doing with Shayna. We got a video package recapping the Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross feud. They're going to have a cage match at Crown Jewel tomorrow to try to keep out Scarlett. Good luck with that. MVP was out in the ring. He said that he was pleased when he found out that Braun Strowman would be in action tonight, one day before his match with Omos. He said that he used his pull here in this city to get five opponents. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five opponents for Braun Strowman in a handicap match on this show. And here came the group of local indie guys making their way out to the ring. This was quite the crew that MVP found here. So as they were coming down to the ring, Braun came out and he just bowled them over in the aisleway. He wiped them all out. MVP was in the ring. He was all by himself. And Braun got in the ring to go after MVP. MVP tried to get away, chased MVP around the ring. And he delivered, once he got him back in the ring, he gave MVP three running power slams. He was sending a message to Omos, who was not on the show tonight. But I was wondering, how are they going to explain MVP not being in Saudi Arabia? He wasn't at the press conference today. They had a weigh-in on stage with Omos and Braun Strowman, and he wasn't there. So this is their way of explaining why MVP will not be with Omos at the show tomorrow. Kayla Braxton was in the back to introduce Imperium. But first, we must acknowledge Andre Israel. Dropping $20 here on the Smack Page stream. First one for the month of November. We got a lot more to come this month. It's a busy month. We got our first of three pay-per-views tomorrow. So we're getting started on the right foot here. But she was in the back with Imperium, and Ludwig Kaiser took the microphone from her, handed it to Gunther, who said that he defends his title with honor. Says Rey Mysterio has no honor, which is why his son wants nothing to do with him anymore. And he said one thing that would never change is that he would be the Intercontinental Champion. Short, to the point, great little preview heading into the main event. Which led us to the main event for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Gunther defending his title against Rey Mysterio, trying to win the Intercontinental belt for the third time in his career. Gunther dominated in the first 90 seconds. They went to the break. First break of two that they took in this match. Gunther slid Rey under the bottom rope, and he took a hard belly flop on the floor. He went out after Rey. He powerbombed him on the ring apron. He was toying with this man. So Rey gets into the ring at the count of nine, and Gunther hits a scoop slam. Picks him up again. Another scoop slam. He went for a third one, Rey blocked it, and then he got a crucifix bomb. Gunther caught a moonsault, Rey, though, transitioned into a sleeper hold, and Gunther took Rey, he slung him over the top to escape. Rey jumped for the sleeper hold again, he got it, and Gunther was fading. He was trying to break free, he's fading, he rallies, though, climbs to the ropes, jumps backwards, both men go down, cut to the commercial, come back. Rey goes on offense. Wheelbarrow bulldog by Rey. Hit a seated senton off the top. He hit a 619. Walter got his hands up. I don't think it was intended to be a block. I just think that was his way of protecting himself to make sure Rey didn't kick him in the fucking face. So they didn't sell it like, oh, he blocked it. But he did get his hands up to basically block the entire move. Rey was going up top. He was going up top to hit the splash, but he got up to cut him off, and Walter tossed him off the top rope down to the mat. So Walter was seated on top now. Now he's seated on the top rope. And Rey tried for a Hurricane Rana, but Walter held on. And he held on. He tried for a powerbomb. He got him up in the powerbomb position, but Rey turned it into a Rana on the way down. He got a great near fall out of it. This was the first time, honestly, all night, where it really felt like this crowd came alive. Was during this part of the match. So Rey came off the top for another Rana attempt. Walter stuffed it. Rey turned it into a sunset flip, or it may have been an attempt at a destroyer. If so, it wasn't a very good one, but hit a sunset flip, got another near fall out of it. Walter came back with a shotgun dropkick into the corner, and then he got the powerbomb, stacked Rey for the pin. We've seen him win many matches this way, but not this one. Rey kicked out of the powerbomb. Rey came back. He hit a hard slap. He smacked the shit out of this man. Walter came back with a chop. Went for a power bomb. Ray reversed him into the ropes. Now he's in the 619 position. Ray hits the ropes, comes off, but he eats a big foot. And Walter reaches down. He grabs Ray by the arm. He yanked him up off the mat and clotheslined him, which is a new move that we haven't seen him use, at least not in WWE before. And off that sort of rebound clothesline, he got the pin and retained the title. So the Ring General retains in a great main event. I expected this to be a fun match. It was. Of course, the outcome was never in doubt, especially on a taped show like this. But great stuff. Great stuff from these two. And I can't say enough good things about the way they have booked Walter and this whole run that he has had as the Intercontinental Champion. When was the last time that this championship was booked as strongly as it is right now? When was the last kind of dominant reign that we have seen? We have one right now with Roman Reigns with the top titles, but the last time we had one with the IC title, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, we're talking years. And it's nice. It's nice to have some focus on the IC title for a change, and it's nice to see them go all in on Walter. Because when he was initially called up, I had a lot of fears. A lot of people had fears about what they were going to do to this man, how bored, how quickly Vince McMahon would get bored with him, right? Because at first, Vince was pushing him pretty hard. Would that have lasted? We'll never know. Probably not. His track record is not very good in recent years with this type of thing. Under Triple H, I have a lot more faith that he'll do right by this guy in the long term. But so far, they've been flawless with him. And now, you know, Triple H putting all the members of Imperium back together. I mean, they have the complete package here. You know, what worked in NXT is working on the main roster. And he's got plenty of people that he could work with. Ray, it's the kind of thing where you have the big guy, little guy thing going on here. I've seen Ray have matches with all kinds of people of all sizes. Going into this, I thought these two might have good chemistry together, and they work well. So a great main event to what I thought overall was a pretty good episode of SmackDown. Now, SmackDown next Friday has the start of the SmackDown World Cup. All that we know, we don't know any of the names that are in the tournament, but what we do know is that there will be 8 men competing. I assume men. I guess they didn't say, but I assume it's a men's tournament. 8 men competing in this tournament to crown the first ever SmackDown World Cup winner. Just when I thought I had my fill of all the tournaments in AEW with Tony Khan, now we have one here in WWE. Now I'm thinking about this whole World Cup concept and who can be in it and stuff. I'm sure there'll be representation from the Brawling Brutes and from Imperium and from Legado del Fantasma, right? I would assume there'll be at least one member from each of those factions in this thing. And I'll tell you something else. And by the way, shout out to Metal Rules. Metal Rules with the $20. Yes! Yes! Give the other ones. I got to give him the same treatment. Yes! Thank you, brother. But I'm thinking, okay, how else do you flesh out this tournament here? I would love to see them call up 1 or 2 people from NXT. I would love to see them call up a Tyler Bate or an Ilya Dragunov to be part of this World Cup and use that as a way to introduce them to the main roster. And I also just love the idea of having both of those guys on the same roster that Walter is on. Just because I know at some point we're going to get that match, but we're going to get it on the main roster. And I guarantee you, those matches will get over every bit as much in front of the mainstream, main roster audience as they did in front of all the marks and all the people, all the marks who want to see that kind of wrestling, right? All the people that watched them in NXT UK or on the main NXT brand and they cheered for them and they said, this is awesome. They would have an equally great match on the main roster and they would have those people invested. But yeah, I mean, a World Cup, I think they ought to consider calling up 1 or 2 people from the NXT roster. They got plenty of international talent represented down there, especially from the UK brand. But also next week, we have Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Santos Escobar. That could be a match in the World Cup. That very well could be a tournament match next week. And of course, we have the New Day and the Usos, or the Brawling Brutes. Whoever leaves Riyadh with the belts tomorrow, that will be our tag team championship match coming up next week. Now, I mentioned Crown Jewel predictions. Gave you my Crown Jewel predictions last Sunday on the podcast, pending any developments on TV this week. And there were a few developments that have me rethinking some of my predictions. So let's just run down the card real quick here. We have Omos and Braun Strowman. They had a weigh-in today in Riyadh. They had a nice scale with the WWE logo on it, so maybe it automatically gives you worked weights in the scale. That would be great. Omos weighed in at 416 pounds, 416.6 to be exact. Braun Strowman weighed in, I think it was around 315-ish, 320-ish, somewhere around there. Braun Strowman is my pick to win, even though he stood tall tonight. I think he's going to pick up the W in that match. We have Damage Control. This is a match that was added late. Damage Control lost their women's tag team titles on Raw Monday night to Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Why? I think to drop them right back to Damage Control in Saudi Arabia. That's why. I'm going to call a title change here. I think Dakota and Io get their belts back, and then they can celebrate a big title change in Saudi Arabia. That's why I think they put this match together. Karrion Kross against Drew McIntyre, steel cage. I'm going with Drew McIntyre. You know, Kross rightfully got the win in their first match. He needed it more than Drew does. Drew could use a win. And they got the cage there to try to keep out Scarlett. I'm going to go with Drew for the win. We have the Judgment Day taking on AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, the OC. This is the one of the matches that I have changed. And because I am changing my prediction for this, my pick in the Damage Control match is one of the reasons why I changed my pick in the Raw Women's title match. But as far as this match goes, I'm going with the OC. Just based on how things went on TV this week and the fact that I think Beth Phoenix and or Edge will likely be making an appearance. Somebody's got to do something about Rhea Ripley. You know it's going to be Beth Phoenix. It's just a matter of, do they do it in Saudi Arabia or do they wait until, you know, television the week after? I think that the OC picks up the win. I mean, Karl Anderson, for God's sakes, I mean, he ducked out of a New Japan booking for this. He ditched a New Japan booking to come to Saudi Arabia to lose? Come on. Got to at least give the guy a win. We have Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's title against Bayley in a last woman standing match. I would not take the title off Bianca. I would keep the belt on Bianca, and I would save the loss for either Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair. Well, when I say loss, I don't want to see Bianca losing to Charlotte Flair, but those are the two big matches for Bianca heading into WrestleMania. You could do Bianca and Rhea at Mania. You could do it at the Rumble. You don't even have to wait that long. I would rather see, if you're going to drop the belt to anybody, it should be Rhea Ripley. For her to drop it now to Bayley, though, kind of screws all that up. And yeah, you know, Bayley can have a short run. Bianca gets it back in a couple of months, but I wouldn't do the title change, but I think they're going to. I think they're going to get all the belts on Damage Control. I think that they're going to get the women's tag belts back. If that happens, I think Bayley is going to win the championship. That's why I'm changing my pick. That really is the only reason why I'm changing my pick, because I think the other match is going to go the way of Damage Control. If Damage Control wins that, it doesn't really make sense for them not to win this. So I think Bayley is going to get the win. We have Brock Lesnar one-on-one with Bobby Lashley. This is the second match that they have had this year. The first match was at the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar lost that match. Brock Lesnar also lost at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar also lost at SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar is due for a win, but here's another reason why I think Brock Lesnar is winning this match. I don't think this is going to be the end of Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. And if you want to get to a third match, if you want to do the rubber match, Bobby already won match number one. If Bobby wins match number two, there's no need for a third match. But if they're going to come back to this again at WrestleMania, which I think is a very real possibility, or the Royal Rumble, Brock has to win. Otherwise, it makes no sense, right? One guy wins, the other guy wins, then you can do the third match. And because I think they're going to do a third match, I think Brock Lesnar is going to pick up the win here. And then we have Roman Reigns and Logan Paul for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Try as they might, you're not fooling me. One lucky punch. That's the story. One lucky punch is all it takes for Logan Paul to win the title. And that's true. But he will not get lucky tomorrow. Roman Reigns is going to retain his championship. We'll be done with this. Logan Paul is the big celebrity get for the big Saudi Arabia show. That's all this is. They're trying to get people talking about this. They're going to try to get trending on social media. They got Jake Paul. Oh my God, Jake Paul. They got Jake Paul to agree to show up, right? For them, this is a big deal. For WWE, they love this shit, right? They're going to try to get media coverage up the ass for this. But once this is over, we can move past this and we can start focusing on what really matters this month, which is War Games. That's what matters. Logan Paul ain't going into War Games as the WWE champion. So Roman Reigns will retain his championships, and that is your crown jewel card. As of right now, that's the complete card. I'm going to be live on YouTube tomorrow night. Or, I'm sorry, not tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon. Usually it is at night. I gotta get used to these early start times here. Pay-per-view's on Peacock at 12 Eastern. So sometime around 3:30, 4 o'clock, I'll be live on YouTube. Come on back, and we'll cover the entire event. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. I will admit, there have been times where I wish life came with a user manual. Case in point, when I first started doing this podcast 15 years ago, there are things I know now that I wish I knew then when I was just starting out. And it's not even anything glaring. It's just little things here and there. Unfortunately, life does not come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's okay to feel like you're stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out what's causing the issues that you may be dealing with right now in your life. It's what they do. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible from anywhere because it is 100% online. Even if you're the kind of person who doesn't do well with one-on-one interaction, you don't like going face-to-face and getting personal with someone about your problems, you're hesitant to open up, you're shy, you're timid, whatever it might be, you don't have to go face-to-face with anyone when you use BetterHelp. That's one of the things I liked about it when I used it. I was able to stay in my comfort zone and still get the one-on-one help that I was looking for. Therapy can help you deal with your problems in a completely judgment-free zone. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. It has all the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient and more affordable. Just fill out a short questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if you feel like things aren't clicking for any reason, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. There's no waiting room to sit in. You log in and you're there. So if you're feeling stuck, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. So let's switch on over now to Rampage. There he is, Iron Mike Tyson. He was in Atlantic City tonight. So was Jim Ross. Jim Ross opened the show tonight by welcoming us to AEW Dynamite before realizing his mistake and then saying, "We're on Rampage." And I thought to myself, yes, JR, yes, we are. We are indeed on Rampage. So they introduced Iron Mike Tyson as the guest announcer for the night and for the opening contest. And it was the only match he did commentary for the entire show. And the opening contest was for the All-Atlantic Championship. It was Orange Cassidy defending his title against Katsuyori Shibata of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or as Mike Tyson referred to him, the Great Shibata. I think that should have been his name during his career. I love that name. It's like the Great Kabuki. The Great Shibata. And great he is. Out he came. Got a nice reaction from the crowd. And I thought to myself as I'm listening to this and as I'm watching this, I am about to watch a Shibata match on live television, live American television. A guy who nearly died 5 years ago and was supposed to be retired for life. Shibata is about to wrestle on TNT with Mike Tyson doing commentary for his match. This is the weirdest timeline. And Logan Paul is going to Saudi Arabia tomorrow to challenge for the WWE Championship, the title that Bret Hart and Randy Savage once held. This is indeed the weirdest timeline. Now, Shibata, for those who don't know, and I'm sure most of you do, but just to give some background, and to their credit, they had Excalibur narrate a video giving the viewer some background into Shibata and his story, and it was good that they did that, because I'm sure a lot of people were watching this who don't know the story of Katsuyori Shibata. But Shibata has not wrestled a proper match in 5 years. When I say proper match, I'm talking like advertised in advance, big time match. It was the match with Okada back in 2017, 5.5 years ago. And he delivered the most sickening headbutt that I've ever heard in my entire life. The thud, the sound that it made, it's just gnarly, even for me to think back on that. And what he did when he delivered that headbutt was he cracked his own skull. And he didn't know it at the time. I mean, he knew it when the blood started trickling down his head. But what he didn't know is how seriously injured he was until he got to the back and he collapsed on the floor. And what happened to him is he suffered a subdural hematoma. And he had to be rushed to the hospital to undergo emergency brain surgery. So, you know, Meltzer had the little typo that time in The Observer, which will live on in infamy, where, you know, they didn't take his fucking brain out of his skull. But they did have to, as I recall, they did have to open his skull to relieve some of the pressure on his brain. I mean, it was serious shit. And he was partially blind for a while. He was having trouble, you know, getting vision. And I think his speech may have been affected. I mean, it was really, really scary shit. I mean, it went beyond like, oh, I hope he's able to make it back to the ring. It's like, I hope this guy can live. I hope this guy can just survive. And he not only survived, but he seems to be thriving now. You know, he's been a trainer at their LA dojo here in the States. We saw him, it was about a year ago, actually last month. He had that grappling match with Zack Sabre Jr. So it was not a proper wrestling match. It was grappling. It was 5 minutes. But it was the first physicality that we had seen from Shibata in years. And then this year, Wrestle Kingdom, he showed up, and it was the whole teacher against student. It was him and Ren Narita. They were also supposed to have an exhibition. They were supposed to have a grappling contest. And as the story goes, when Shibata got to the ring, he took the mic. He announced that he wanted to have a match, like a regular, proper wrestling match. And that's what they did. And supposedly New Japan knew nothing of what he was going to do when he got out there. They were very upset that he did that because he's not supposed to be wrestling. The New Japan doctors will not clear him for an actual full-blown professional wrestling match, or at least that was the story. But in AEW, he doesn't have that problem. It's like Saraya. Wednesday on Dynamite next week, Saraya is going to come out and they're going to make the match official for Full Gear. It's going to be Britt Baker against Saraya. Saraya is going to be cleared and she's going to be back in the ring. All Shibata had to do was come to the States and show up in AEW, and he can wrestle a proper match. And that's what led us to where we are tonight. Orange Cassidy was able to pick his dream opponent. Shibata put his name on the contract on Wednesday, and here we are. So, Shibata grabbed a headlock. He took Cassidy down to open things up here at the beginning of this match. Shibata worked on his ankle. He tried for a kick. Cassidy moved, and then he elbowed Shibata off the apron. Cassidy hit the ropes. He came out off with a running dive. And outside the ring, Shibata ended up throwing Cassidy into the guardrails. I guess he didn't like being dived on too much. Shibata went into the ring, and he sat down, went back outside to go after Cassidy, who threw Shibata into the guardrail. And the two of them were fighting, and they almost had a double count out, but they made it back into the ring in time. Took us into the first commercial break. Back from the break, Cassidy had control, hit a drop kick to Shibata's head, which kind of got a wince out of me. Then he got the soft kicks in on him until Shibata grabbed Cassidy's leg. He kicked Cassidy's back, hit the soft kicks of his own. He delivered some soft kicks to Orange Cassidy. He was mocking him. Cassidy followed that by sitting on the mat, Shibata style, and Shibata joined him, sitting down. Now they're face to face, and Cassidy starts hitting soft chops on Shibata. He's lightly tapping him. He's giving him these very weak looks. And I knew where they were going with this spot. Because I'm sure people were watching that spot. Their heads were about to explode. But I knew exactly where they were going with this. So he's laying in the soft chops. And then finally, it's Shibata's turn. Because Cassidy says, give it to me. And it's Shibata's turn to respond in kind. And he responds by slapping the fucking piss out of this guy. I love that. I could see it coming from a mile away. He smacked the hell out of him. Shibata hit an underhook suplex, went into a sleeper hold, and the two of them traded back suplexes, hit double slaps on each other, took each other down. Cassidy hit a penalty kick. Shibata, though, sat right back up, and Cassidy hit some more kicks, and he was laying him in this time. It's no more of this soft slap shit. Shibata fired up, hit a leaping elbow strike, looked more like a Superman punch. Shibata looked more like an orange punch. Shibata worked an abdominal stretch, sank in an octopus. Cassidy made it to the ropes for a break. Shibata picked him up. Cassidy hit the Stun Dog Millionaire. And he lifted Cassidy up after that, hit a Death Valley Driver. Cassidy, though, came back with a stunner and planted Shibata. Cassidy hit the beach break for two. Finally hit the orange punch. Shibata did not go down. And Shibata sank in a sleeper hold. Cassidy, though, got out of it. And he hit one last orange punch and finally got the three count to retain his title. When the match was over, the two of them came together in the middle. Shibata put his hand out. Cassidy shook his hand, took his glasses, put the glasses on Shibata. Shibata already looked cool. Yeah, I figure Shibata can't look any cooler than he already does. But with the shades on, it just worked. It was a natural look for the guy. I thought this was a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun again. I fucking died when Mike Tyson, of all people, corrected Excalibur and said that's not a heel trip. That's an STO early in the match. You know, is it possible they fed that line to him, you know, just for shits and giggles? It's possible, but Mike's a real fan. Like, when you hear him on commentary, and even when he came into WWE back in 98, the first night they brought him in on Raw, when Austin came out to confront him, before Austin came out, McMahon was talking to him, and he was talking about how, oh, yeah, I grew up a fan. I love watching Bruno Sammartino and all that. And I don't think they fed that to him. I believe that he's being honest. I think he grew up, he probably watched wrestling as a kid and remembers a lot of those old guys and has an appreciation for it. I think he's a real fan. So you listen to him on commentary and he wouldn't shut up the entire time, but it was just him being excited, genuinely excited, it sounded like, to be there. And it's cool. You know, it's cool to hear that kind of excitement. Hey, Bill Baggins just gifted a channel membership to Beowulf. Is it Christmas? Did Christmas come early? I mean, we have an exchanging of the gifts here on the stream. I mean, it's not even the holiday season yet. So Tyson sounded like he was having fun. This is the only match he called all night. Anybody wondering if this was going to lead to an angle or if it set up a future appearance for him, it doesn't look that way. This looks like it was just one and done. So that was the end of Mike Tyson for the night. Shibata looked great. Clearly in the match, they were taking measures to protect him as much as possible, but he took bumps. He took a back suplex. He took the beach break. And Cassidy, again, was very safe when he dropped him. He didn't drop him like, when Hangman does the dead eye and he drops the guy directly on his head. He was protected as much as one can be protected. When you're in the ring, I mean, there's always an element of danger, of course. But it was great to see him back in the ring in a proper match like this. And Cassidy was the safest possible opponent for him. I know that some people are going to look at this and go, oh, it wasn't the same, you know. I mean, but again, was anybody really expecting an old school classic strong style match from Shibata? Shibata and strong style, I think that's over and done with. He was in the ring tonight with somebody who is the opposite of strong style, which is why he was the perfect opponent for him. But this was one of the better matches I've seen out of Orange Cassidy. The best match I've seen was at Forbidden Door. Him and Will Ospreay had what may have been, you know, top five match all year. I don't know if I would put it ahead of the FTR and Briscoe's series of matches, It will be in the conversation when this year is over, though. This match was also a lot of fun here. Shibata had expressed to AEW months ago, as the story goes, there were two men he wanted to work with. Orange Cassidy was one, and the other, and he got to work with him tonight. The other name that he wanted to work with and still wants to work with was Bryan Danielson. And now that Shibata got one wish and he got to work with Cassidy tonight, my hope is that we can get Shibata and Danielson, and maybe we'll get it at the Tokyo Dome. AEW got this match tonight. Tony Khan got this match. It's only fair that they go back to Japan, because I know Danielson has wanted to work the Tokyo Dome now for years. This could be his shot. The problem is, if New Japan is not going to clear Shibata for an actual match, then you can't do it at the Tokyo Dome. But if something has changed, if something has changed and now they're willing to clear him to wrestle, you know, on a regular basis or wrestle a full match, I would love to see it at Wrestle Kingdom. Talk about a huge match. Bryan Danielson and Shibata, January 4th. Sign me up. Lexi Nair was in the back chatting it up with Toni Storm, the interim AEW Women's World Champion. And Toni was talking about Jamie Hayter, who she is defending against at Full Gear, and how they used to be friends, and you knew me when I was homeless, and all this other stuff, and when did you become a bully? She said that Jamie was being manipulated by Britt Baker, but at the end of the day, Hayter is responsible for her decisions. She's an adult, and she better be ready come Full Gear. Back from the break, Lexi was backstage again, this time with Claudio Castagnoli, Bryan Danielson, and William Regal. I have to say, I watched NXT this week, and they have Charlie Dempsey out there. Charlie Dempsey, for those who don't know, is the son of William Regal. And they've involved him in the Chase, you know, the Andre Chase stuff, the Chase University segments. See, he was out there this week to attack Andre Chase. He had Andre Chase, I think, in like a sleeper hold or some kind of hold. And he was making all kinds of faces. I mean, you look at his face in that segment, you tell me that's not the son of William Regal. It didn't really hit me. Like, I've seen what he looks like and everything, and there's definitely a resemblance there. But there was something about him in that segment this week and the mannerisms and the face, facial expressions and everything. I mean, talk about a dead ringer for his father. Holy shit. So anyway, Charlie Dempsey on NXT. If you don't know who that is, then you probably don't watch NXT. And if you don't watch NXT, well, I can't say that I blame you. But Claudio demanded a rematch against Chris Jericho since a rematch was still owed to him. I didn't think this was a very good promo from Claudio. He was kind of, I don't know, he was a little off here in this segment. But he said that the rematch for the Ring of Honor World title was still owed to him. And I hear him say this and I just think to myself, you had your chance on Wednesday, dummy. You didn't take it. Why didn't he come out to accept Chris Jericho's open challenge on Wednesday? He was there. If you think you deserve a match, there ain't no anchor tied to your ass. Where was he? Was he on the commode? Did somebody slip him something? I heard the story that Mr. What's his name over there? David Schultz on Tales with the Territories this week. Stampede Wrestling episode. Tell him the old story about slipping laxative and cookies and serving it to the guys in the back who had wronged him. Did somebody slip laxatives into Claudio's cookie this afternoon or on Wednesday afternoon? I mean, why wasn't he out there? Now he wants Chris Jericho to give him a match. If I'm Chris Jericho, I'm telling him to piss off. I had an open challenge. He didn't come out. Tough shit. Get lost. Then Bryan Danielson spoke. And Danielson talked about how he, too, is a former Ring of Honor world champion, and he wants one more shot at Chris Jericho. He promises that if he gets it, he's going to stomp in Jericho's face. So then William Regal, at the very end of this, looks in the camera, and he tells Chris Jericho that the ball is in his court. And he tells Jericho to make your choice. And Jericho would make his choice. A couple of segments later, he would make his choice. We had Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter taking on Madison Rayne and Sky Blue. lot of Sky Blue fans usually in the chat every week. Y'all should be very happy that Sky Blue made an appearance tonight on Rampage. I know you're all... Yeah, Sky Blue and Jamie Hayter, another fan favorite. Another favorite of the people in the chat. You should be very excited that we had them both in the ring together tonight. So, half this match took place during the commercial break, which tells you everything you need to know about the importance of this match. Not that the men's matches don't get the same treatment, but it just, I think what it is, there's so few women's matches in a given show compared to the men, that when they go to break, and half the fucking match takes place during commercial break, that's why it feels like we hardly get to see any of the actual women's matches play out on TV unless it's in a little picture-in-picture box. Because we usually only get one match per show. If we're like, you know, if you're a fan of the women and the women's division, you're lucky if you get two during a given episode of Dynamite. If you get one and half of it happens during the commercial, well, it's kind of hard to judge what's going on. But they came back and Hayter was on offense. Sky Blue hit a super kick. Baker and Madison Rayne, they tagged in. Madison tried to fire the crowd up. They didn't give a shit. This crowd did not give a shit. She was trying, but they didn't care. Madison hit a cutter. Hayter came in, landed a backbreaker. Best looking backbreaker in all of wrestling today is the Jamie Hayter. I mean, she looks like she's breaking these women in half. She gave one to Riho a few weeks ago. Riho was so tiny. Riho's like 100 pounds. And she broke this woman over her knee. I mean, you talk about brutal. It looks fantastic. Britt Baker went for the stomp on Madison Rayne. Rayne moved, went for a crucifix bomb. Jamie Hayter came back with a ripcord lariat, though, and put her down for the win. After the match was over, Britt asked for the microphone. And she said that Jamie Hayter would win the Interim World Championship at Full Gear. Toni Storm's music interrupted, and she stormed down to the ring. Pun absolutely intended. Rebel tried to take her out in the aisleway. Rebel got laid out. Britt Baker got laid out. She got into the ring. She started brawling with Jamie Hayter. And Toni sank in a Texas Cloverleaf. Britt Baker, though, got into the ring, and she took the Interim Women's Championship, and she clocked Toni Storm right in the head with it and broke the hold. And Jamie Hayter posed with the championship to close out the segment. I thought it was a pretty average match, but it was a win for Jamie Hayter. Heading into the pay-per-view, she's going to be challenging for the championship. It's another win for her. It keeps her looking strong heading into the battle that she is scheduled for with Toni Storm. And look, Britt Baker can talk, as she did in her promo here before she was interrupted, about how Jamie Hayter is going to walk out of Full Gear and she's going to be the new Interim Women's Champion. But you know that when push comes to shove in the finish of this match, it's going to be Britt Baker costing Jamie Hayter the championship. Even if it's accidentally on purpose, Britt Baker will factor into the finish of this match at Full Gear, which is why we won't have a new champion. Tony Schiavone was in the back with Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. And Jericho said that William Regal, you know, with all of his amazing general manager experience, is going to tell him which opponent to choose for his next match. He said, but what if I said both of them? What if I said I'll take them both on? Because he doesn't think the members of the Blackpool Combat Club really like each other. So what if I said Claudio and Danielson, I'll take you both on because I know that you're going to tear each other apart. He said, but I'm not stupid, though. He said that I can bring one of my own guys to even the odds, and that guy would be Sammy Guevara, who is standing right next to him here in this segment. I'm going to bring Sammy Guevara and have him in the match, and when Danielson and Claudio leave each other laying and it comes down to myself and Sammy, he goes, Sammy knows. He knows to do the right thing. And Jericho walked off, and Sammy had a confused look on his face, like, what does he mean by that? I was puzzled by this because this seemed like a spot tailor-made for Daniel Garcia. Now, obviously, they have some other idea in mind. The goal is still to get to Jericho and Garcia. Maybe they just do not want Garcia in the ring with Jericho at all. unless they're a tag team together. They don't want them on opposite sides until Full Gear, or more likely maybe it's a Ring of Honor show, Final Battle, or some show like that. I don't see what the big deal is if you have a triple threat match, or a fatal four-way in this case. Jericho and Garcia don't have to really go at each other all that much. That's what the story has been, though. The story has been Jericho and Garcia, not Jericho and Sammy. So it's a very odd choice. It's very bizarre. It's a very weird choice, unless Sammy gets knocked out of the match before Full Gear. Because later on in the show, Sammy was in another backstage segment, and he laid down the gauntlet to Bryan Danielson to a 2 out of 3 falls match on Dynamite next week, which has been confirmed. Maybe Danielson takes him out. Maybe Danielson puts him on the shelf and injures him, and then Daniel Garcia takes his place. It's possible Garcia could still find his way into the match. I just thought it was a very bizarre choice. The story is not with Sammy. The story is with Jericho and Garcia. And Garcia here was nowhere to be found. Ricky Starks was back. All right. I'm going to give that a round of applause. I've been waiting for this guy to show up ever since Rampage Grand Slam. There was a note in the Observer that whatever has kept him out may have been some kind of personal non-wrestling related issue. Whatever it was, hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully everything is fine. All that matters is that he was back on TV tonight. And people were happy to see him, and he got into the ring. And he entered himself into the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament. They're doing another Eliminator heading into Full Gear. The winner of the tournament will challenge for the championship December 14th, Winter is Coming episode of Dynamite. They've done that each of the last 2 years. Kenny Omega won 2 years ago. Last year it was Bryan Danielson wrestling Hangman Page. So Ricky Starks now is officially in the tournament. He also said that he's the guy who's going to make sure that he holds this place up on his bare back. Those were his words, not mine. But that's what he said. On his bare back, he is going to carry AEW upon him. There you go. And he said that he would also be walking out of Full Gear as the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. And he said, first, as far as Jon Moxley, should it be him? Should it be Jon Moxley? He says Moxley has poured his blood for this company 10 times over, but what happens when the blood dries up? He says, as far as MJF is concerned, he goes, what happens when a generational talent faces an absolute one? That was the question that he posed. And so far, as far as this tournament is concerned, it makes Dante Martin, Ethan Page, Ricky Starks, those were the three names that we knew of. But then later on, they showed us a graphic, and we now have the entire tournament bracket, which I am going to, I have it here somewhere, I think. Well, I'll find it for you. But we have the bracket now, so we know all of the names that are in this tournament. And I am going to import it right now for you. I thought I had it here. So let's go ahead and find it. Where is this tournament? Here it is. There it is. There it is. All right, let's blow this thing up so you can actually see it. Here's the tournament. We got Eddie Kingston and Ethan Page. They're going to be wrestling on Dynamite this Wednesday in the opening round. We've got Bandido and Roosh. They're going to be wrestling, I guess, next Friday on Rampage. We've got Lance Archer against Ricky Starks, and we've got Brian Cage going one-on-one with Dante Martin. And as I look at the configuration here of this bracket, I'm seeing a finals of Ricky Starks and Ethan Page, because Ethan Page has been pushed pretty hard in the last couple of weeks as, you know, big entrant in this tournament, and he did commentary on Dynamite the other night. I think this is all leading to Ricky Starks and Ethan Page in the finals. And frankly, you know, I look at this bracket, that's the match I want to see. You know, two young guys. We're not talking, you know, ex-WWE guys or anything like that. These are two young stars in this company who could be and should be something much bigger. I think you put them in the finals. Yeah, they don't have the name value of a Kenny Omega. or Bryan Danielson or John Moxley. But especially if, let's say MJF goes over and wins the championship and is still acting heelish. Heel MJF against Ricky Starks, that winter is coming. I would love to see that match. If it's John Moxley, Moxley against Ethan Page, a lot less likely. But even that, I think, could be a very good match. The match I want to see is Ricky Starks and MJF. So Ricky Starks is the one who I would like to see win this entire tournament. But anyway, those are the brackets there, in case you were wondering who's in this fucking thing, because up until tonight, we had no idea. We had two names. Now we have all the names. That's a good point. You know, Sticketer says none of them are former. Well, Lance Archer technically is a former WWF name. He was in WWE. The other guys were not, though. So Tony Schiavone was in the back again with Sammy Guevara, as I mentioned. Sammy came back a little bit later on, and he said that the man he almost beat a few weeks ago was Bryan Danielson. He goes, that was a dream match for me. He goes, I used to work at a Subway when I was younger, and I would dream about what it would be like to beat Bryan Danielson and find out who the best wrestler in the world really is. He said, so we're going to find out, because I'm laying down the gauntlet. Dynamite next Wednesday, you and me, 2 out of 3 falls, so that way I can beat you twice in one night. And later on, they made the match official, so we'll be seeing that on Wednesday. The main event for tonight was Wardlow and Samoa Joe. Wardlow taking on the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona of the Embassy. Another Ring of Honor main event here on these shows. Toa bit Joe on the ear. Khan caught him with a clothesline from the ring apron to allow the heels to take control heading into the final ad break. Joe caught Khan with an enziguri. He tagged in Wardlow, who took Khan down with a pair of German suplexes. Then he caught Leona off the ropes with a German of his own. Joe pulled Toa out of the ring, choked him out on the floor. Wardlow hit Khan with a lariat, wiped out Prince Nana with a right hand, and then he finished off Khan with 4 power bombs. And then he placed his foot on his chest and he pinned him, and so Wardlow picks up the win. After the match, Powerhouse Hobbs walked out on stage, and he was motioning that he wanted the TNT Championship. And Wardlow saw this, and Wardlow shoves Joe out of the way and is basically, he's begging this man, come on down, I dare you, I challenge you to come down to the ring, right? He's jawing back and forth with Hobbs. Meanwhile, behind Wardlow, we see Samoa Joe. And he just had, like, the eyebrows are raised, and he has this very nonplussed look on his face, like, he's not very happy that he just got physically shoved aside by this man. And that's how they went off the air. So an interesting little development there. Possibly a tease for adding Joe and making it a triple threat at Full Gear, but it's not needed. I don't want to see that. I think Wardlow one-on-one with Powerhouse Hobbs is just fine. And I think it will be one-on-one, but if they're entertaining the idea of making it a triple threat, I just don't think it's necessary at all. I think Wardlow and Hobbs one-on-one, that's the match to do. But you know what? If this ultimately leads to a split with Joe and Wardlow, then I think that's for the better. I think their team outlived its usefulness once the feud with Jay Lethal and his crew ended. There really was no reason for these two to stay together as a team anymore. It's a way to get them on television, but Tony Khan can come up with better ways to get Wardlow, his TNT champion, factored into the television show without him having to be in a tag team. Or maybe it's the other way around, where Tony Khan wants to get as much Ring of Honor talent exposure as he possibly can. And so this was his way of getting Samoa Joe on TV. But surely he can come up with something better than this. So Dynamite on Wednesday, it's going to be Eddie Kingston and Ethan Page in the first round of the World Title Eliminator. FTR and the Acclaim take on the Gun Club and Swerve in Our Glory. Jamie Hayter, oh, here we go. You guys are going to be very excited for this one. Jamie Hayter is going to go one-on-one with Sky Blue. And Saraya and Britt Baker will go face-to-face with Tony Schiavone. This should be where the Full Gear announcement is made. And Bryan Danielson one-on-one with Samuel Guevara. 2 out of 3 falls. That is your Dynamite lineup for Wednesday. Now let's take a look. We got dueling polls here. We have not had dueling polls. Well, you know, I haven't seen, well, I won't say that. But we have the SmackDown poll here. 60% thumbs up, 25% thumbs in the middle, and 14% thumbs down. A little lower than SmackDown has been doing recently, but not bad. Over on Rampage, a little bit less. 55% thumbs up, 26% thumbs in the middle, and 19% thumbs down. So as of this moment, SmackDown is outscoring Rampage. It's really not too much of a shock there. But there you go. At Solomonster is the place to go vote. Please go vote and go follow so I can see you guys over there. Always a good time over on Twitter, although it's been kind of a shit show. Twitter is a little bit of both. Twitter can be fun, and Twitter can be an absolute fucking dumpster fire. That's sort of the story of Twitter. But it ain't no dumpster fire here. Not with you guys. Let's take a look at your super chats. If you want to send a super chat in, you may do so. If you do so in time, I will be reading your messages here. As best I can, answering your questions. PJK with $1.99, starting us off tonight. Been a listener since 2014. Keep up the good work. Hey, PJK, thank you, brother. Brumakian Productions, Friday Night War or Friday Night Skirmish? It's not much of a, it's not even much of a skirmish. SmackDown's going to do probably 2.2 million viewers. Rampage will be lucky to get 500. Joseph Brooks, if Vince McMahon is WWE's greatest heel, is Hogan easily WCW's greatest heel? Yes. Hollywood Hogan is WCW's greatest heel. Also, Ricky Starks giving off Rock vibes a little bit. Not a bad role model either. Rock is my favorite wrestler of all time. Ricky Starks has been giving off Rock vibes for years. This is nothing new. You are not the only one to pick up on that, I assure you. Queen Fire Panda, aloha, Mr. Monster. I have a completely original question. On average, who makes the better music, CFOs or Def Rebel? I like a lot of the CFOs' music. I can't really hate on their music. It's not all great, but I would probably go CFOs. Google Chrome user has been sent to prison. Or tax fraud. Save me, Solomonster. Nah, you did it to yourself. I told you. You gotta get your papers in order. You gotta do it by the book. None of this under the table bullshit. And now look what's happened to you. Now look at what's happened to you. I hope you're happy. There's nothing I can do. Shinakuma, thank you for the $2. Fire Panda, I know how to make AEW a true competitor to WWE. And I'm not even gonna dignify that with a response. The answer is no. Sean O'Hare with a $5 super chat. SmackDown Shut Your Mouth just turned 20 years old. I would love to see you do season mode for Sound Off Gamer. I don't know how I would do that. I know they have... there's certain websites where you can actually play some of those older games. But they don't really work too well. I've tried them before. I've tried to play... oh my god, WrestleMania for the N64. It just didn't work. Unless you have the actual console and the actual game and you can hook everything up, it just doesn't work. Josiah Ball with the $5 super chat. I saw Josiah hanging out earlier before the stream started. Says, what's up, Solomonster? Great title defense. You put on a classic and good way to retain your championship, freshly squeezed baby. I tried. I went easy on the guy. I didn't want to hurt him. You got to wrestle smart. You got to wrestle safe. Calvin Miller, who do you think is the most interesting face on the WWE roster? And do you think faces, I assume he means, will ever be more interesting than heels? Yeah, I mean, it depends on the kind of on the kind of face that you are. I mean, if you are involved in an interesting story... yeah, I mean, you can have baby faces that are interesting characters. I mean, as far as the most interesting face right now in WWE, I mean, I would say Sami Zayn. He's not technically a face, though, but everybody loves him. So I guess I can't really use him. Seth Rollins is an interesting case because he hasn't turned. He hasn't done anything to turn, but boy, you watch Raw Monday night and everything about his presentation just screamed babyface. He even went back to the blonde streaks in his hair that he had back in the Shield days. I don't know. Interesting, most interesting face on the roster at the moment. I'm drawing a blank. I don't know that any of them are overly interesting. The Bloodline storyline is my favorite thing, and they're all heels. Mark Peter, first time sending in a super chat. They should do an injury angle with Jimmy and have Sammy team up with Jay to break the record NXT week against New Day. Angel Silva, should Sammy shave his beard and cut his hair when he becomes a babyface or keep the hobo look? Also, The Rock against Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold against Bryan Danielson? I mean, The Rock against Shawn Michaels. Come on. As far as his look, yeah, I think when the time comes, he should at least trim the beard. I mean, it's getting out of hand. As a heel, it works. I think once the turn happens, gotta trim that thing down a little bit. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. Starting tomorrow, there is some type of pay-per-view every Saturday until December 3rd, including UFC 281. Crossing my fingers that nothing bad happens at Blood Money tomorrow. Well, I'll tell you one thing you ought to look for. I think our guy, our boy Fawaz is hanging out with us tonight. You got to keep your eyes peeled for a sound-off sign. Or a Solo Monster sign of some kind. If you are watching Crown Jewel, keep your eyes peeled. You might see something. Cameron Spencer, I am a fan of wrestling comedy. What was funnier, Lashley's sister segment or Bayley, This Is Your Life? Both were very funny. I see Cameron Spencer is off his meds. He missed the dose. And he's not thinking clearly. So I will have some sympathy on him. Dev to Dust, I miss Solo Monster's 2020 pandemic look when he grew his hair out and had stubble. I don't miss that at all. I am so happy. You have no idea. One of the happiest days of my life was in June, 16 weeks later, when I finally got a haircut. I can't tell you the feeling of relief that I felt. I will never allow it to get to that point again. That was awful. I went back the other day and I actually watched a clip. I clipped something from one of those streams in like May of 2020 or whatever it was. And I couldn't even believe it. I said, how did I even go on the air looking like that? It was awful. Shawnee in the Wrestling, 1999 Super Chat says, love you, man. Not that you need ideas, but for the one-year anniversary of Vince McMahon's retirement, I think it would be cool if you did a one-time-only return of a mega This Week in Wrestling. Love when you talk 1992. Enthusiasm is mutual. Thank you, Shawnee. 1992 is a fun year to go back and talk about. We'll see. I always consider all ideas. It's our boy, JM, with the Bully the Clown Super Chat. Everybody laugh at Bully the Clown. JM, where have you been? But he was on vacation. Thank you, JM. Joshua Zia Lee is pronounced Sha-Li. Joshua is a Mandarin speaker. I say it the way they say it on TV. And the way they say it on TV is Zia Lee. So you are probably right. But I say it the way that they say That's why I say, instead of Mustafa Ali, I say it now Mustafa Ali, because he came out later and said, that's how my name is said, and he got them to start calling him that on TV. Once they started doing that, I shifted over to the new pronunciation. So if she starts coming out on TV and they start calling her Shali, I'll call her Shali. Rodimus Prime, buy or sell, which match would you fantasy book? Adam Cole against Bret Hart or Bryan Danielson against Ronnie Garvin? Ronnie Garvin? God. Adam Cole against Bret Hart. Riley Parvin with the $20 super chat drop. How you doing? Obviously, this isn't on topic for tonight's show, but do you think Triple H will try to bring Enzo back? Is there a spot for him on the roster? I never got the impression that Enzo was loved even before he had that whole controversy. So I'm going to say no. Jacob Donnelly with the $5 super chat. If reports of Shibata handpicking Orange Cassidy for a match are true, they are true, by the way. That is a great feather in the cap for him despite his polarizing gimmick. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, people shit on him all the time and, you know, they don't understand the gimmick and they don't see what's so appealing about it. The reality is, I mean, you have people in wrestling who think highly of this guy and want to actually work with him. Will Ospreay had nothing but praise after he worked with him. And Ospreay is maybe the best in the world right now. Bell to bell in the ring. So you can hate on the gimmick all you want to, but you can't deny the fact that this guy is over and he's a pretty good worker. But they let their hatred blind them, you know, and so you can't say anything good about the guy. He's a goof. He ruins the wrestling business, you know. Arr, the cloud. Yeah, it's absolutely a feather in his cap. Without a doubt. James Cooper. Would Mike Tenay, Mauro Ranallo be a good addition to either AEW or WWE? There was always a certain comfort for me in hearing Tenay or JR, and Mauro was great in my opinion. Also, Shibata rules. Tenay does not want to do commentary, so it's a moot point. I was never the biggest Mike Tenay fan, but I think once he left, as the years went on, I gained more of an appreciation for his commentary. So I never hated it or thought that he sucked or anything. I just never looked at Mike Tenay as one of the all-time great voices in wrestling. But I've gained more of an appreciation for him in recent years, and that could just, frankly, be because we've had a lot of really subpar wrestling commentary. But he doesn't want to do it. You know, I know Meltzer is very, very good friends with him, and he's talked to him many times about it. And I think promotions have reached out to him, and he just says, not interested. As far as Mauro, I don't know that it's in the best interest of his health for him to come in and work full-time for a wrestling promotion. I think to have him in for maybe a big, kind of a big match every now and then, I think would be fine. I would have loved to have heard him do the Fight Pit match at Extreme Rules. I think that would have been perfect for him, especially with Daniel Cormier out there. But as far as Mauro coming back on a regular basis, I don't know that he could. I don't know that he could do it. I don't know if that's something that's really good for his health. Ted Evans. I know that you are a busy man, but any plans on bringing back This Week in Wrestling? I enjoy and miss those segments. Not anytime soon. No. It doesn't make sense. You've got to... Look, I did This Week in Wrestling history about 7 or 8 years ago is when I started doing it. And I did it for an entire year. And you got to let some time go by before you go back to it. So I didn't necessarily think I would let 7 years go by. And I'm not saying it'll be another 7 years before I do it, but it's still relatively fresh. There really is no point in going back and doing it. Now, the segment, if I did it, would have to change. And so instead of just doing a straight recapping of all the big events that happened this week in history, you know, it would have to be a focus on, like, something very specific. I think there's definitely room for some kind of a historical segment, but to do This Week in History the way that it was done before, it's too soon. It's too soon to go back to it. GCC305 with the 1999 from an hour ago. I have a question to ask. How come you think managers like Gary Hart and Paul Ellering do not get spoken as much as guys like Heenan and Heyman? Because they were not on top nationally in WWF, or Heyman was in WCW, but Vince had the national product. Vince had more visibility than all of those other promotions, and that's why people still remember Mean Gene. That's why they remember Gorilla Monsoon. That's why they remember Bobby Heenan. If Bobby Heenan would have stayed in the AWA with Nick Bockwinkel, people would not be talking about Bobby Heenan the way they talk about Bobby Heenan. Doesn't make him any less great, but that visibility would not have been there. That exposure, that television exposure would not have been there. That's why Gary Hart, who was a great talent, doesn't get talked about as much. A lot of people don't know who he is, or they do now, but they didn't watch him because they weren't on television where they lived, you know, when they were growing up and watching wrestling, unless they were watching World Class. If you lived in Dallas, you knew Gary Hart. If you lived in New York, you probably didn't. So it really does boil, it just boils down to exposure. We have Bernard Frederick. My crown jewel prediction, Lashley turns heel after losing to Brock. Maybe the start of the Hurt Business reunion. Who says the Hurt Business has to be a heel faction? Fawaz, there he is. There's my boy. $10 super chat from Fawaz. TikTok, buddy, TikTok. I will go to sleep to wake up early to Crown Jewel and support the best podcaster there is and there ever will be. Fawaz, enjoy the show. I will be watching, and I look forward to whatever it is that you have planned. John, you know, to go back to Gary Hart for a second, somebody had sent me a copy of his book, which I never finished, but a lot of people have praised his book. I'm not even sure if it's in print anymore. But if you can find it and get your copy, get your hands on a copy of Gary Hart's book, it's spoken of very highly. And I don't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but you can find it on Amazon, I'm sure. It's at least the title or the name of it. Supposedly, it's a very good book. John Kiernan, $4.99. Speaking of great talents. My basement flooded a few minutes ago. Oh, boy. My silver lining? I'm cleaning up and listening to your live stream. Makes the cleanup much more palatable. That sucks. Water damage sucks. I will tell you that. Although I've never been completely flooded out. I don't have a basement. But although to talk to some of these wrestlers, you know, we all should be living in our parents' basement. But that sucks. Hopefully it's nothing too irreparable, and you have flood insurance, I hope. I don't know where you are, actually, but hopefully it's not too bad. But at least we can keep you company here during the cleanup. Andre Israel with the $20 super chat. Deville has been jobbed out to everybody under the sun since her return from that whole crazy stalker thing, and was building a little momentum before that happened. Do you think that she is dead in the water, or can she get it back? She can get it back. She's been losing a lot, but I wouldn't say that she's completely dead and buried. Cameron Spencer, why do you think people pay for Peacock when you can watch wrestling and other sports for free on many different websites without paying a cent? Because people don't want to go on their smart TV and load up watchwrestling.whatever it is, you know, with the hope that they might be able to get the stream to work, and then it doesn't, and it buffers, and it's not HD, and it looks like shit. That's not how people want to watch TV. And also, a lot of people don't know about that. You're a wrestling fan. You're on the internet all the time. You know about that shit. I know about that shit. A lot of regular people don't know about that shit. They don't know where to go. And frankly, a lot of regular people are like, hey, Peacock, $4.99, sounds good to me. I'll pay for it and get full HD. I know where to go. I have the app on my Roku. Boom, boom, boom. I'm there. It's done. It looks great. People want simplicity. It's not easy. It's not easy. If it takes effort, people don't want to do it. But also, you know, a lot of people don't have an issue paying for it. There's nothing wrong with paying for it. Wrestling, that is. I have to be careful with the things I say. Slim Yoshi, $5 super chat. Enjoyed SmackDown tonight. Going to need Ray and Gunther to run it back at Survivor Series. Also look forward to the sweet Saudi money title tomorrow. Brother, we stopped doing the sweet Saudi titles after the last one. We didn't have a title for the last one. I think the last one we did was sweet Saudi money. Was it 6 or 7? I don't remember. It might have been 7. I've lost track, frankly, of what number we're up to. This is either 8 or 9. But, we don't do those no more. Metal Rules. With the $20 super chat, you know damn well if Vince McMahon was still in charge, Otis would have eventually been changed into Bastion Booger 2.0 for his amusement. Randall dropping a $9.99. Hey, look at Baby Russo. There's Russo on a pole. It's the original super chat image. Still one of my favorites. Riley Parvin, I absolutely love the way they are building Gunther. It is awesome to me that he does not have one established finisher, and he can win any of his matches with any of his huge power moves. It brings so much more drama. Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to have a nice, varied moveset. It makes things more interesting and less predictable. My dad left me with the $1.99. Punk against Austin in LA. What are your thoughts? Not going to happen. The guy tore his tricep. Even if there was some possibility of him becoming available in time to sign him and bring him in before Mania, he physically would not be able to do it. Ted Evans, do you ever think about getting into acting? I think you got the gift. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I've starred in some off-Broadway plays and done some Shakespeare. You know, it gets exhausting all the time. You know, the acting thing of being around all those people, all those pretentious people, it was too much. So I decided to get out of the acting. And I decided to get into a career as a wrestling podcaster where I can actually pretend and act like I actually enjoy this shit. And I find I'm very good at it. So, there you go. Ted, no, I have not. But I appreciate you saying that, though. Isaac, worst tattoos in wrestling. Have we said Cody Rhodes yet? Bret Hart, I will cast the Sala Monster on a short film or a movie someday. You're going to cast the Sala Monster, you better have the Sala Monster playing himself. With himself. I smoke a lot of weed. Can we do 5 against 5, be the booker, traditional, and war games? We're not doing anything if we don't get 500 likes, so. We ain't doing a damn thing tonight. Rizzo, watched Halloween 3 a couple of days ago. Now I got that damn song stuck in my head. You're welcome. That's the whole point of the movie. You got to get the song stuck in your head. Aussie of Steel, thank you for the $3. Drew McIncock says hello. Hello back. Samoan fan, you should take some shrooms during live streams. That could be very dangerous for me. Aussie of Steel, I am sad because I will not be able to watch Crown Jewel nor your review live as it starts at 3 a.m. here. Woe is me. Well, the good news for you, Aussie Steel, is that when the live stream is done, it's going to be parked right here on the page. So you can go back to it once you've had your morning coffee, or as we say in New York, you've had your coffee, you've had your morning coffee and your bagel, you shmee a little cream cheese on there. You get your fucking toast and the jam and all that. You go to Dunkin' Donuts. You get yourself a coffee. Decaf. I don't drink coffee. I think it tastes like shit. But it'll be there waiting for you. Once you're ready, you just load it up. Dr. Dakota says Google Chrome user should use ExpressVPN with the code SOLOMONSTER to avoid prison. Sadly, he had to learn the hard way. Sometimes that's the only way for people to learn. They've got to hit rock bottom before they realize the mistakes that they've made. Rizzo, thanks to the jump scares in Halloween 3, my cat now hates me because I woke her up. Still a very good movie. JM with that earlier Bully the Clown super chat, $30. Man, you know what? I was doling out the yes chance before. Yes, yes, you gotta give him a yes chance. Yes, yes, yes. JM, I think that's the biggest super chat of the night so far. What's up, Solomonster? If you would have told me years ago that Mike Tyson would be better than Chris Jericho on wrestling commentary, I would have told you that you were high. You know what I just realized? I finally, for the first time in my life, have something in common with Mike Tyson. We both have done wrestling commentary. So I can tell people that me and Mike Tyson, we got something in common. And we both know what an STO is, unlike Excalibur. Shawnee and the Wrestling. Buy, rent, sell as your roommate for at least a month. Bully the Clown, Vince Russo, and Dixie Carter. I know you wish you could keep them all. I would room with Dixie Carter. I'll buy that. I'll buy Dixie as my roommate. I'll rent an apartment with Bully the Clown. Bully the Clown. Excuse me, I got some bullshit caught in my throat. And I will not be living with Vince Russo. Jamin John, what is your favorite film of 2022 so far? A lot of the movies I've watched didn't even come out this year. Do me a favor. Remind me of what movies have come out this year. I don't remember all the movies that came out this year. I saw Nope. I saw the movie Nope, Jordan Peele. I didn't really like it. And I'm definitely not going with Halloween Ends. Randall, will we see CM Punk back in wrestling on television again? I believe we will. So nice he sent it twice. Hey, Randall, thank you. In my eye. With a tear in his eye. Tripod with the 1992 Super Chat. I will get to you in a second here. Boney. Better Hell in a Cell match. Undertaker against Mankind. Seth Rollins against The Fiend. How is this even a question? You already know the answer. Why do you ask a question that you already know the answer to? Phony, thank you. Richie with the $10 Super Chat. What was the issue with The Rock and Kevin Nash? Also, what a rough year Kevin Nash is having, losing his best friend and his son. Yeah, Kevin Nash is having a hell of a shitty year. Somehow, he's keeping it together. Doing his podcast, I guess it's good therapy for him. But yeah, he wasn't even over the death of Scott, and then he lost his son. And the way he lost his son completely unexpectedly like that, it was just awful. But the issue with him and Rock, it really just boils down to this. So when the NWO came into WWF, there was a promo segment where The Rock referred to him as Big Daddy Bitch. And he didn't like that very much. So they had a match on TV. And if you go back and watch it, there was one spot I think he was giving Rock maybe knee lifts in the corner or something, and then I think he got up in his face, and that was legit. That moment there was legit. He was getting up in his face going, all right, you want to call me names and talk shit about me. But for years in WCW, you know, as the story goes, Nash would make comments like, oh, if I ever went, you know, nose to nose with The Rock, you know, like on promos or something, I'd mop the floor with him. He's not that big of a deal. Like, he would talk a lot of shit about The Rock. Then he went to WWE, Rock punked him out, and he didn't like that very much. But Nash was actually on his podcast a few months ago, and I think somebody asked him a question about Rock, and yeah, he was cool about it, and he said, yeah, look, you know, I was... Yeah, I forgot, in so many words, he basically said, yeah, I was, you know, acting like a bit of a dick back then. So, you know, it's all water under the bridge now, but yeah, the Big Daddy Bitch line is what really got to him. It's a great line, by the way. Fire Panda, I will not have any coffee slander on your streams. Coffee tastes like shit. I apologize for nothing. Amazing I can even function. How late I go to bed some nights, I don't drink coffee. It's amazing I don't have bags under my eyes like Punk does. Tripod, did my homework about Lisa Evers. She is a reporter for Channel 5. Oh, yes. I know who that is. Channel 5 is WNYW, Fox 5, here in New York. But I know her from Hot 97. She used to be known as Lisa Silva of the Guardian Angels. And made an appearance on Tuesday Night Titans. She was married to Curtis Sliwa? No. That can't be right. Lisa Evers was married to Curtis Sliwa of the Guardian Angels at one point? Is that true? Rizzo with the $5 super chat. Now, bro... That was rude, bro, because, bro, I would so live with you, and, bro, we could do a monster on a pole match, bro. Huge ratings, bro. You know, if I had to listen to that all day long, I'd fucking blow my brains out in the fucking closet in the back. 24 hours, I wouldn't survive. By the 15th, bro, how high up are we? Be throwing myself off the balcony. Andre Israel, what's your favorite wrestling video game? I personally have to go with SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. I absolutely love that game. WrestleFest. That's the best wrestling game. Shawnee and the Wrestling, bro. If I could sell myself, bro, we could talk about the golden era, bro. Why Raw sucks, bro. King Bling Blah, sweet Saudi money 8. Triple H in charge. We got an update. Nah, it's not that good. You could do better than that. And Mr. Notorious Chico. Like me, you are an 80s baby, so what's the best TV sitcom theme song from the 80s and 90s that you like? And what is the songs that you did not? Keep up the good work. I love the theme song to Perfect Strangers. That just made me happy to listen to that song. So Perfect Strangers would probably be pretty close to the top of my list. I got, you know, those TV sitcoms from the 80s, I mean, they really did. They really had the best music. Night Court had a fucking bitchin' theme. Full House. And there's a lot of them, actually. You know what? Growing Pains had a pretty good theme. Growing Pains had a pretty good television theme. Of course, you can go back to the Jeffersons. You want to take it back even earlier than that. You go back to the 70s, you had the Jeffersons. A little before my time, but I used to watch that quite a bit when I was younger. Different Strokes. Mr. Belvedere. Mr. Belvedere, actually. Pretty underrated song. That's a pretty good one, too. You know, Night Court had no words, but it's just a cool song. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, hurry and end the stream. Tripod says they were married but later divorced, and later WCW stole the Guardian Angels gimmick and gave it to the Big Boss. I remember that. I remember they made him the Guardian Angel, and I think that they didn't like that very much, which is why he had to switch away from that. So that I do remember. Samoan fan, did you watch Tiny Lister in the movie Friday? Yes, of course. Debo. Of course I did. And Juan Ocampo said, had a blast yesterday. Don't remember leaving the bar or getting home. My brother took care of me, was on my couch all day with the worst hangover. Well, see, that's a rookie mistake. That, my friend, is a rookie mistake. You can't be drinking and not drinking water. You gotta go pause, drink some water, then drink some water. That's the mistake that people make. They don't drink enough water. They go crazy with all the other stuff, and then you pay the price. Rookie mistake. But hopefully you had a great birthday. If you remember, Juan said the other night that it was his birthday, so hopefully it was sounds like it was a memorable one, only you can't really remember anything that happened. Shawnee is back. I know you are a big horror fan, so I gotta ask, did you see Don't Hike Alone in the Snow? Fan-made Friday the 13th. It's pretty well made and holds true. I did. And it is very well done. Very well done. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I totally forgot about that. That was amazingly well done. I gotta tell you, there are some fan-made movies, whether it's Jason or Michael or other characters. I've seen a few Friday the 13th and Halloween ones that are really well done. In some cases, they're like short films, and when it's over, I'm like, man, I would pay to watch this movie in a theater. So there are some really like uber talented people out there, but that one that you mentioned, Don't Go Hiking Alone in the Snow, is probably the best fan-made film that I've ever seen. Like, it's that good. Like, I enjoyed it that much. Scott Woodford, the Smashing Pumpkins show was awesome. Yeah, Scott said he had a concert tonight. Did an NWA match break out in the middle of the concert? Did fucking Tyrus come on stage and defend his championship? And it is Ty. Hey, Tripod says, Who's the Boss had a good theme too. Who's the Boss? You want to know who the boss is? I'm the boss.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
I'm the boss. And that means I run the show. And that means I get to book the matches here. So, we are going to end the week with a little Be the Booker action. But first, Richie says, is Randy Orton going to still use the RKO? That is a very good question. His back injury is apparently it's very serious. I can't imagine that we never see him use the RKO again. So, yes, he will. But I think if he does come back, he's going to have to come up with another move and save the RKO for, you know, those kind of special occasions. I don't know that he can keep landing on his back like that. And Mr. E1976 says, here's to the tip jar. Thanks for everything you do and happy 15-year anniversary. Thank you very much. This weekend is officially the 15-year anniversary of the Sound Off. Although we'll probably do a separate live stream just to kind of hang out and celebrate later in the month. But yeah, this weekend is 15 years. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. E. We begin with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat here in Be the Booker. Former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, former Intercontinental Champion Ricky Steamboat, one of the all-time greats. I will happily book Ricky Steamboat on my show. And I will book Ricky Steamboat. Look at this. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Will Ospreay. Holy shit. What a match that would be. Imagine both these guys, Ospreay today, against Ricky Steamboat in his physical prime. What a fucking match that would have been. Ricky Steamboat is wrestling this month. going to be in a six-man tag on an independent show. Steamboat against Will Ospreay could very well happen at some point, although Steamboat is not in his physical prime anymore. But we could very well see Steamboat and Will Ospreay at some point. We live in at a time where that match is actually possible. That may be truly one of the best matches I've ever booked. We begin with, we're already on the flip side here. This will be one of the worst matches I have ever booked because we have Lacey Von Erich. Lacey Von Erich, I don't know, I wonder what she's up to these days. I know she's no longer wrestling. Lacey Von Erich will go one-on-one with Asuka. Oh, I'm so tempted. I love Asuka. I love Asuka. And I think that Asuka could carry her to something presentable. But we could do better than just presentable. Presentable is not good enough. I'm trying to book great matches here. I'm not trying to book presentable. I'm not trying to book just to get by. I need actual talent in these matches. Lacey Von Erich ain't going to cut it. All right, tag teams, here we go. We begin with the Street Profits, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. We haven't seen Montez. He had that walking boot a few weeks ago. We haven't seen him since. Maybe that injury was more serious than they let on. Street Profits going to be stepping into the ring to take on the world's greatest tag team, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Good shit. I like it. 2 out of 3. There you go. Book it. Street Profits, world's greatest tag team, Ricky Steamboat, Will Ospreay. That is something I can get behind. That is something that I can absolutely get behind. Shawnee says, did you make Roman's eyes blue in Be the Booker? I believe they already came that way. Richie says, also, what do you hate about Freddy Krueger? I didn't say I hated anything. I just said I never really got into the Nightmare on Elm Street films the way that I did the other ones. It's just, it was never really my thing. I never said that I hated him. And Dr. Dakota Scorpio. What's going on, Dakota? We would have gotten away with no Be the Booker if it wasn't for these meddling kids. But the goat Lacey on Be the Booker, I'll allow it. Lacey against Asuka, 5 stars. Yeah, maybe minus 5 stars. Oh, Dakota, thank you. Thank you for the support. William, if you just go to YouTube and type in Never Hike in the Snow or Never Hike Alone in the Snow, it should come right up. It's on YouTube. It's free to watch on YouTube. Seth Rollins! It's Hashway, everybody. It is Hashway. Breaking in the new $35 Seth Rollins Super Chat. Love singing along to the Seth Rollins theme. Hashway says, sorry for not being active in the chat, but I always watch the replay. AEW's booking and match quality have declined a lot. So thank God for Sami Zayn to make me enjoy my wrestling anyway. Hope you are doing well. Mr. Dynamite, yes, that is a new Super Chat. I mentioned it at the beginning of the stream. Hashway, always good, man. As long as I know you're okay, that's all that matters. And AEW has lost a lot of that shine they had. The bloom is off the rose. So the shows will vary in quality. A lot more than they used to. Dynamite was usually very good for consistent quality, and that isn't always the case now. They've had a lot of issues. I talk about them every week. I talk about the good. I talk about the bad. You are not alone in feeling that way. All right, guys, this has been fun. I think I have gotten to all of your messages and And you sent in a whole bunch of them tonight, so I thank you for that. I thank you for choosing me for your coverage here for SmackDown and for Rampage, a rare Rampage stream. I cannot guarantee that we will be reviewing Rampage again next week. In fact, the odds are against it, but we'll take it week by week. And if there's a show that looks interesting, we'll be here to talk about it. Otherwise, it'll be back to SmackDown next week. Crown Jewel in a little over 12 hours. I gotta go get some sleep. I'll see you tomorrow.